Bismillah, elhamdülillah, ve salatu ve selamu ala Resulillah ve alihi ve sahbihi ve men vela. This is our session for the reflection first pertaining to what we covered today, which will be done inshallah in about 10 to 15 minutes, and other reflections that you generously and kindly shared with us, with one another, inshallah, with the qasd that we learn from one another and that we strengthen our resolve to this path of tazkiyah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of our nufus. This was given to me yesterday and I didn't have time to read it. I don't know whether the person who wrote it is here today or not. Allah ta'ala alam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It says, my wounded heart. When a heart is wounded, it tries to fill the wound with many things, many attachments. Underneath it all, there is only one that would truly heal the wound, inshallah. The attachments are like multiple layers of threads trying to fill the wounded heart. But, my friend, the wound needs to be sealed, not filled. And there is only one thread that would seal the thread within... And there is only one thread that would seal the thread with a needle. A needle underneath all these threads. How will you find this needle? You won't know until you... You won't know until you sort out all those other threads out of the heart. One by one you start to detach these threads away, one by one. They seem to fill the heart, but really, they are only attachments to the nafs. The process of detachment of the threads is like the beginning of tazkiyatun nafs. The process of detachment of the threads is like the beginning of tazkiyatun nafs. The wound needs to be cleaned first before it can heal, you see. Once the heart is clear of these threads, you will finally find the thread, the only one with the needle. This thread is like your dhikr. Slowly but surely you can now sew your wound. And when it is sealed, the heart cannot be filled anymore. It does not need filling anymore, because it has been sealed by the thread to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم أتم نعمك علينا جميعا يا رب. اللهم ارزقنا صدق الطلب, صدق طلبك يا مولانا يا الله يا رب. And inshallah I pray that all these are indications of at least if not full صدق طلب, they must be, inshallah, indications of some desire, some sidq at least. And I pray that it is, inshallah, ta'ala, soon for all of us, full sidq in talab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rab. This one is following his shadow. If I remember well, there is a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, part of which, فِيكُمْ رَسُولُ, amongst you there is a messenger. Few ayat have that, yes. Meaning in you, or amongst you, there is the messenger. And I believe, and Allah knows best, that this is addressing all the believers. Because if it were meant only for the companions, he would maybe use ma'akum, with you, instead of fikum, in you. Because the ma'iyah, that is the state of being with, would have ends or ended with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing away. Therefore, in us there is a messenger, yet we don't find him. This is, I believe, because a shadow needs light in order to appear. And unless we struggle through the process of tazkiyah to cleanse our hearts so that they will shine again out of the nur of fitra, we would not be able to see his shadow in our hearts. Only when there is light in our qulub that we will see his shadow and then follow him as a guide. SubhanAllah. And he will take us to places where he had been. Jazakallahu khair. SubhanAllah. It's a very beautiful reflection. Never thought of it that way. Fikum. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَلِمْتُمْ. Of course here fikum means also amongst you, no doubt about it. He's speaking to the companions, but this is another dimension that the person, hafizahullah, is trying to also see in this usage of the structure fikum. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِدْتُمْ. And this certainly indicates that it is also ma'iyah that is intended. Because لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ. And if he is not with us, there is no question of ta'ah, or no, of him obeying us, rather. So he is definitely addressing also that. But this is a very nice, subhanAllah, reflection to make us even more aware of the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And other ayat and other texts and other ma'ani do support this, alhamdulillah, this inner reflection about fikum. SubhanAllah. Okay, what does this say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Oh, sorry, it says it's not meant to be public. What do you think? I didn't read it. I don't know what it has yet. I'll have to read it first. This is the first notice. It's only for you to read. Please forgive me. This is another reflection. As the qalb of Muslim was lost in dhikr, I was here before something. Okay. Reflection and poem. Please do read, for I love the sound of beautiful words from the sweetest mouth that has not yet tasted death. The sweetest mouth was that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Has not yet tasted death. Sweetest mouth that has not yet tasted death, and this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mouth. Unless, of course, death means here what? Spiritual death. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did die physically, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did die away from his nafs, and away from the khalq, and away from his irada. Unless it means he was living always spiritually and continued to live spiritually. As the qalb of a Muslim was lost in dhikr, longing for home, it attempted to send a poem home. And the guardian of home, creator of home, is exalted from the need of poems. The following transpired. Cooling water, warming sun, tranquil breeze, from the shores of dhikr, on a humble boat which allows the abd to be in awe. Cooling water, warming sun, tranquil breeze, from the shores of dhikr, on a humble boat which allows the abd to be in awe at the ocean of ar-Rahmah. To feel the sun of an-Nur, to know the breeze of tranquility. Truly enlightened is the one who possesses yaqeen with the words of Al-Qur'an. Before futile logic attempts to prove, inverted commas, the truth, be gone with the logic, for it is prone to falsifying the truth and labeling truth to that which is false. Excuse me. For when logic trips upon truth, say subhanallah, for when logic trips upon truth, say subhanallah. How perfect Allah is. And no, logic is like a derivative. It comes to be because of He who is before it. Truly serene and tranquil is the one who feels solace in the words of Al-Quran. Truly serene is the one who feels solace in the words of Al-Quran. Before whimsical poetry attempts to beautify the beauty, be gone with poetry. For the feelings its words provoke are limited by the words used to describe feelings. For when poetry is swayed toward that which is beauty, say, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. And no, poetry is like a flower petal. It comes to be because of He who is before it. For Al-Quran is not confined to logic or to poetry. It is like the like of poetic logic and logical poetry. For when one says, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, they refute all other perfections and praises to affirm that Allah is the greatest. There is no illah or ilah. Which one do you mean? ilah. Okay, there is no ilah but Allah. On your journey through the desert towards home, beware of the vile villain of Qasawa. For the focus, those who drink from Nile, Iman, and from Nile, Nifaq, to alternate. So the cycle continues. He possesses two snakes, the snake Nafs and the snake Hawa. Maybe the snake Shahwa and the snake Hawa. Beware of the snake Nafs. Stings with the poisonous tongue of poetry. Beware the snake Hawa, for it stings with the venom's tongue of logic. On your journey, stay away from fools who seek shade from the sun underneath the poisonous tongue of nafs. And stay away from the foolish fools who seek shade from the sun underneath the venomous tongue of hawa. Stay close to the ones who seek the shade of irada, and those who seek smaller and smaller shades of irada. For they wish not that the same size shade becomes a habit. They wish to quicken the pace home, and forget not in your journey home through the desert to seek the path lined with red sulfur grains. Kibritul Amr. For verily, it is the shortest of shortcuts to home. Woe to the fools and foolish fools, for they in this life are themselves nothing more than poetic, earthly salt water and logical bottled artificial water for cooling. Poetic earthly ultraviolet rays of sun and logical lights of fluorescent tubes for warming. Poetic earthly winds carrying viruses and logical winds of loud air conditioners for tranquility. From the shores of dunya they travel in a large expansive cruise ship to protect themselves from shark-infested waters. They lock themselves in cabin suits to enjoy bittersweets and to seek shade from sun rays lacking ozone and winds of hurricanes on their way to Paradise Island. For if the heart would speak, it would say, is there a heart surgeon on board? For if there were to cut me out from this jail, made up of only flesh and ribs, I would then rest in peace. And the fool to would rest in peace. And the fool would rest in peace. I apologize for... Let me first read this. Okay. I apologize for laying layers upon layers, and if that became for the reader and listeners balagh, then simply say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan for this beautiful balagh. Allah reward you. Allah reward you. Inshallah. May Allah enrich all of you Allah enrich all of you. حفظكم الله. This reflection is entitled, What Have I Been Reading? I have not done Quran justice. How could I have been reading Allah's words all this time so casually? How have I been reading journals, articles, and textbooks with such seriousness, and yet neglect a book whose wisdom is bottomless? Allah created me to ponder His ayat, and I have been reading the Quran like I read a storybook. But those other books are static in every sense of the word. They even contain errors, contradictions, and sometimes they don't make sense. The Quran is more like a dynamic conversation with your Lord. How did I put it on a bookshelf among other books? How could I put it on a bookshelf among other books? This past week has caused me to reflect on how little I know of the Quran, and I just can't help but wonder how much wisdom is contained in every single verse I pass over so quickly. Now I'm confused as to how I should approach it to gain most from it. In fact, Allah already told me, but why didn't I take it seriously? How do the words of perfection compare with the corrupt desires of books written by men so they can make extra income, mal, which won't satisfy them, or to gain status amongst the people? That is jah. Allah says in Surah Al-Qamar, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْبَاءِ مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٌ حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ فَمَا تُغْنِي النُّذُرٌ. And indeed, there has come to them news in the Qur'an wherein there is enough warning to check them from evil. Perfect wisdom, this Qur'an, by the preaching of preaching of WA, what are those words? Sorry. Benefit them not. What is that? Warners. Oh, that's Warner, that's an N. Aina. Hikmatun baligatun, that is, this Quran is perfect hikmah, perfect wisdom. فَمَا تُغْنِي النُّذُرُ. However, warnings benefit not such people. I think I'm guilty of being among those people, and I feel so foolish. How could I have been so foolish? I feel like I was a person dying of thirst, and I suddenly found a sea of sweet water, or a notion of water. Instead of drinking from that ocean, I tried to drink from the mist of water created by the waves of the ocean. That is how I have been reading the Quran. Had I drunk my share, I would at least have survived instead of dying of thirst. But this is water from an ocean from which you can never get filled. And it's an ocean that you can never drink completely. Please make dua for Allah, for me, that is from Allah, to instill in us a love of His Quran, His Deen, and His Messenger. Ameen Ya Rabb. Ameen Ya Rabb. نسأل الله العلي القدير اللطيف الخبير الرحيم البر سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل القرآن جميعا لنا نورا في قلوبنا وإزالة لهمومنا وغمومنا وأن يجعله لنا ذخرا يوم نلقاه يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we always must need as part of this tazkiyah of the nafs to always improve our relationship with the Qur'an. Qur'an is al-dhikr, the dhikr, and dhikr is essential in the life of qulub. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the Qur'an the dhikr, al-dhikr. And we need always to improve our relationship with the Qur'an. And let me tell you this, my dear brothers and sisters, I know inshallah ta'ala all of you care for the Qur'an, and we care for the Qur'an, maybe intellectually, and some of us not enough presence of qulub. And alhamdulillah, we struggle, we go step by step. Those who don't know the Qur'an and don't memorize much of the Qur'an and don't feel sometimes maybe as much enthusiasm in being dhikr through the dhikr of the Qur'an. And yet there is a desire, alhamdulillah, to be nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dhikr of la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Constantly. One of its wonderful, beautiful consequences is it makes you love the Qur'an. Makes you love the Qur'an. That which didn't exist before and was just intellectual, it becomes part of the qalb in due time. Do not stop from dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not stop from tahleel, alhamd, and hawqala, and takbir, and dua. Do not stop from salah. Continue, even if salah still has not refreshed our qulub yet. Continue, that's part of the journey. Until inshaAllah ta'ala, salah also will begin to become and will become, alhamdulillah, we become so special that indeed the qalb of abd, wallahi al-azim innahu al-haq, becomes mu'allaq fil masajid. Until the qalb of the abd hangs in the masajid. The abd cannot not go to the masjid anymore, regardless of what the abd does. And if the abd is not in the masjid physically and is away and cannot get there, truly his qalb is there. Continue dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be patient, my dear brothers and sisters. We've got to be patient. لكل أجل كتاب قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا. It takes time for everything to reach its destined end and aim and destination. It takes time for a wound to be sealed and healed. It takes time. It's the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we don't notice the wound closing, it doesn't mean it's not closing. It is closing. We don't see it because it takes time. Until day after day, until you see it, it's gone. When it is really gone. Don't stop taking the medication. Don't stop reading the Qur'an, even if you don't find the sweetness of reading the Qur'an. Don't stop dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you don't find the sweetness of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't stop salah and nawafil and sunan because simply you don't find the sweetness of that. Keep doing that. Keep desiring, yes, that it sinks in the qalb. But don't stop it. Don't stop it. Don't stop it. Allah wants, He knows, and He wants us to know that we truly want Him. And as long as we keep knocking at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will open. أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ طَرْقِ أَبْوَابِي أَوْ بَابِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى كَمَا قَالَتْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا كَيْفَ بِكَفْرَةِ الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ بِكَفْرَةِ الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ A lot of ruku' and a lot of sujood keep knocking at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she said. بِكَفْرَةِ الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ A lot of ruku' and sujood. And when it opens, then your heart feels. Our hearts will feel, inshallah. لأن الله كريم ولأن الله وعد وعده الحق سبحانه وتعالى. Because Allah promised, and Allah's promise is always true. Allah promised Jannah in this dunya before the Jannah of Akhir. Jannatul Unsi bihi Azza wa Jal. Jannatul Unsi bihi Azza wa Jal. The Jannah, the paradise of solace and of delightful retreat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ra'akum Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. May Allah enrich you all. This is, I suppose, inshallah ta'ala, the last reflection for the night and for the week. And for the retreat this year. And maybe there will be more if Allah gives us life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never deprive us of the company of those, inshallah, who will remind us of Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always help us meet one another in the spirit of being reminded of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. On the first day of the retreat, Mukhtar taught us about dhunub and their impact on our qulub. He then quoted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the meaning, when the believers will break their promise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send someone from outside to invade their land, steal their riches, and possess some of what they used to possess. I then became conscious of what had happened to me since the day I was born. So many times I have broken my oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone then came from outside to invade my land, to steal my riches, and now to possess what I used to possess. This is the kind of most arrogant as well as greatest attempt of colonization in the history of humanity. The one of Shaitan against my qalb. And I am the one who enslaved my qalb and made it lose sight of its purpose. For indeed, Shaitan only whispers. I gave him the weapons that allowed him to take me. All that for a piece of dream that never existed and will never exist. Dunya. Subhanallah. Only after so many years do I start to understand the implications of the concept of Tawheed. The modern world lives in parallel of the real one and is filled with nothing else than illusions. My qalb has been running around so much since my birth, caught in the trap of Shaitan I feel like a rat in a maze where there is no exit. How stupid of me. I never thought of looking up. For this is the only exit possible in our dimension. Shaitan haunted me and filled my heart with distress and anxiety. And now, at half my life, I find myself filled with the idea of continuing my own rat race towards dead ends. I wished I were able to accept freedom and break my chains. I wished I were a salih. I wished I were an angel. I looked at my past, and the only thing I can perceive is the ocean of dhunub that I have committed. I wish I were able to rise and stand in order to achieve a total enlightenment. And although it sounds good, all that I just said is the immediate reason of my failure. For to succeed, I should not want to stand and rise, but only to prostrate and submit. What else can I do, Ya Allah? When I talk to you, I pretend to be stuck in between two worlds, but I know very well that one offers me nothing while the other one offers me one, the one that is everything, you, Ya Allah. I don't know by which irrational fantasy I have been able to choose the first option over my entire life, but it describes well how the arrogant one, Shaitan, has had control over me so far. Indeed, you are the most perfect, the first and the last. You are the only one who deserves any gratefulness. For you are the only one who has power to grant anything. Nobody can harm me. And if something demanding happens to me, whether pain or hardship, I think that I have now learned to thank you for it. For Ya Rahman, you are infinite justice and knowledge. What you send me can therefore only be good for me. But that I have to accept. I have to stop being anxious over myself and start to accept my role, the one of ubudiyyah to you. But everything seems to stand between me and you, even the concept of time. For when my worship is determined by it, I take it as a lord before you. Indeed, time is of time is one of our worst enemies in our ibadah. That may be why it is not part of the afterlife. How could we be free when our worship is limited? Subhanallah, when I think that you created me and that I didn't deserve it, guided me while you didn't need to do so, and created Jannah for your abd. None of that was a necessity, for only you deserve to be. You know, humans can joke together, they may compliment each other, complain about their own self, and mention to everyone that they are the worst. But as was said to Fudayl, this is the same loss for this, an ayah. The meaning of that ayah, hasn't the time come for the people of Iman to soften their hearts to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. I have to wake up, but not wake up and get up. Instead, wake up and lay down every single part of my physical body and spiritual constitution. My nufus are overwhelming me. I feel they are like a wild animal being trapped and destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this wild animal is struggling for his life harder than ever before, and is ready to be everything or to do everything to survive. There is only, as a dear brother told me one day, one solution to win this fight. It is to tell you, Ya Rabb. It is to tell you, Ya Rabb, this wild animal has overwhelmed me. Do to me whatever you want, my Lord. But I beg you, take your victory over it. Destroy it, so that there will be nothing left of me standing in front of you. We have another note which I'm not going to read. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate our brother's qalb. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free our quyub. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dignify and honor us with the status of full abd of His subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dignify and honor us by walking in the shade of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you so plentifully for being here, for coming, for sharing, for humbly receiving and modestly giving. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and illuminate your qulub and your lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in iman and in ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you beacons of light to everyone around you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and forgive you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I experience so much sincerity of expressions and of feelings on your part, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that a wasila for me to be forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me by your sidq, by your sincerity, not by me, not by what I said, for only Allah knows what's in my qalb. As you think of me that which Allah knows best of me, your sidq in your feelings, that I ask Allah to make for me wasila and a ladder. I beseech Him to forgive me by your sincerity, by the barakah of your sincerity. And may He subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you and lift you, inshaAllah ta'ala. May all of you who have expressed so much desire and so much earnestness in wanting to be good, in wanting to be Allah's servants. The fears you expressed, the longings you expressed, the concerns you expressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that for you a wasila to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you, Ya Allah, all that which you desire of nearness to Him. And may He keep away from you anything and everything that which keeps you away from Him. And again, had I said or done anything that hurt anyone, that offended anyone, and thus was displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I, as Allah requires of me, sincerely and honestly and humbly ask for your pardon and forgiveness. For that's the way I will ask pardon and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because your right in this case precedes even that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask you please to pray for me and pray for my parents, and that I, whenever He takes my soul, that I will not be in a state of ghafla, I remind you again of your salah. If there is anything I want to insist to remind you of and to require and request from you to pursue in improving is your salah. As-salat, as-salat, as-salah. Please, at whatever stage you are, always work on perfecting your salah. Perform your salah on time. Always struggle to perform your salah on time from Fajr till Isha, wherever you are, please. Don't let anything else take precedence over salah. No matter what you are doing, no matter how sophisticated it may be, your salah takes precedence. For if salah is rectified, the rest inshallah will be on time rectified. If salah does not take primacy in our lives of pursuit of knowledge and of sharing of knowledge and so-called da'wah ila rivalik, if salah does not take primacy, everything else will be not blessed and will fail us. That I must remind you of, inshallah ta'ala. That I must remind myself of, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the path to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, again, I remind you always to reflect inwardly on the question of tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I would like you to keep that and reflect, learn to reflect inwardly on the matter, the question of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we, yes, begin and must intellectually pursue and acknowledge and recognize the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But tawheed is about the existence of the qalb, the life of the qalb. Tawheed is the core of everything. Tawheed is the essence of everything. Please remember that. أقول قولي هذا وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لنا ولكم المغفرة. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.